Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word that comes out of the pages of our sacred scriptures and our history and still touch us deeply today. May each of us hear in them the words that we need to hear from you. May we hear the truth and have the will to follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, here it is. 2 days after the birth of Christ, and the child is 12 already. My, how time flies. As most of you know, I follow the Revised Common Lectionary most of the time during the year. And the lectionary is a cycle of a three-year cycle of readings for each Sunday of the year. There's always a Hebrew scripture reading, there's always a New Testament reading, a gospel reading, and a psalm reading for each Sunday. But when I get to this Sunday after Christmas, in all 3 years of the cycle, I kind of have to scratch my head and think, what were the lectionary people thinking when they came up with this Sunday's readings, especially the gospel reading? Today, in year C of the cycle, we suddenly have Jesus at his bar mitzvah. He's 12 years old at the temple. In year A of the cycle, we had the slaughter of the innocents by Herod after the Magi did not return to tell him that where the baby Jesus was. And then in year B, we have the stories of Simeon and Anna. When the infant Jesus is taken to the temple for the purification rite, his naming and blessing. And they meet, each of them meets the family there and says things about Jesus. Now, the one thing is, Jesus is still an infant in that story. But we hear things like Simeon says that Jesus will be a sign that will be oppressed by many, and that Mary and Joseph's souls will be pierced as well. Oh, good news. It almost feels like the childhood of Jesus was stolen from him. Or put in another way, someone stole the baby Jesus. Now, there was an attempt by gospel writers to rectify this. If you go on your computers or to Google and type in infancy gospel or the infancy gospel of Thomas, which I have talked about in some sermons in the past, you will read stories about the infancy and the childhood of Jesus. You know, you read things like, oh, Jesus one day made birds out of mud. And then the other boys will say, oh, you're not supposed to be doing that. And they go, because he was creating on a day he shouldn't have been creating. And they go to tell the elders, and so Jesus just kind of does whatever he did, and they become real and fly away. So there's no evidence left. There's another story where Jesus and some friends are playing. I think they were, a couple of them were on the roof or something, and one of them slides off and is badly hurt and dies. And Jesus has to bring him back to life in order for him to tell the people, hey, it's not Jesus' fault. He didn't do this. But stories like that. And I think those stories were written in order to give Jesus a childhood and as a way of kind of showing that Jesus somehow was even powerful and the Son of God in his childhood. And these books are part of a larger collection of books and gospels that are part of what we call the Gnostic gospel tradition, which is why they're not contained in the Christian New Testament canon. So, I think it's quite possible, though, that the reason we don't have any stories about Jesus' childhood is because he had a normal childhood. He was just like any other little boy. You know, he played. He got bumps and bruises. May have gone running crying to mom when he did, and she kissed it and made it all better. He played tricks on friends and family. He got yelled at by mom and dad. He helped Dad and he stopped picking things up and everything. He did all those things that normal little boys do. And during his childhood, he was studying under a rabbi. And at home, his mother and his father were teaching him how to be a devout Jew. He was learning his Hebrew. He was a normal child. Now, you know, I like that because we often say that because of Jesus' life here, God knows what it's like for us to live the lives that we live. Because through the Son, God has lived that life. What it's like to have the joys and the hurts and the sufferings that we have in our lives. Because Jesus had them. And in the child Jesus, God knows what it's like to be a child, a being of no benefit to society, at least in that time. Children were thought of very lowly. They didn't start to appreciate children until they got old enough that they could work and help the family bring in some income. They were less than mothers. I mean, the women were considered property by the husband, and the childs were less than that. So which brings us to when he's 12, and as I said, he's appearing at the temple for Passover, but I also get this feel like, because it's the age 12, it might be his, might have been, in a symbolic way, his bar mitzvah. And it's there that we begin to get the stirrings about, this kid's different. This child is different. And then we don't hear again from him for another 18 years. Now, we go to Epiphany, which is January 6th, and we go back to the stable, or to the house, and the infant Jesus, and the Magi come and leave their gifts. And then the next week, boom, we're right back. He's 30, being baptized by John on Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And we wonder, why can't we just stay in the manger for a while? Or stay at the manger for a while? Why can't we enjoy the Christmas story? I mean, you can't say everything about it in one short Christmas Eve or Christmas Day service. But, I mean, there's a lot of things in that story. And there's other stories. There's the Matthew story. And there's the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, which is kind of John's version of the Christmas story. And why can't we just stay there for a while and enjoy it? We enjoy the angel songs. We want to hear the shepherds' hushed, astonished voices a little more. I was thinking yesterday, you know, the wonderful thing about Christmas, and I hope you experience this, is we're so centered on the present. I don't mean gift present. I mean time of life present. We're so focused on what's happening around us. As we talk to people, as we celebrate with people, as we watch people opening gifts that we've given them. And we forget about the life that's beyond our doors, beyond our lives. And that feels kind of good. I was thinking of that yesterday, and I thought, I kind of felt guilty that it felt good. But you know, that's the way it is. And we enjoy it. But then, of course, there's always that person at the Christmas dinner that starts talking about politics and everything is blown apart. But it's wonderful to live in the moment. To live in the God with us moment. And maybe that's why the lectionary creators don't let us stay at the manger very long. Because there is a world out there. There is a big, hurting world out there. A world that God in the Son came to give hope to. Howard Thurman, the poet, wrote a wonderful poem. And it goes like this. When the song of the angels is stilled, When the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart. Yeah, maybe in light of that, it's best to think of Christmas as kind of a motivational moment. A moment along with the resurrection to pump us up and get us ready to send us back into the world to do those things that we're supposed to be doing. I heard somewhere a long time ago that Christmas is the grand intrusion before the great resumption. The grand intrusion before the great resumption. God intrudes in our lives with the birth of a baby, and then we go on with our lives. God comes at Christmas with all the pomp and circumstance of angels singing Gloria and shepherds glorifying God, but then life returns. The question is, does life resume for us the way it was before, or is it different this time? The question for us today is, will we let life, or will we let the world steal the baby Jesus from us? The God with us from us. The second poem that we read as a part of that litany by Anne Weems is so perfect in this thought. I'm going to share it with you again. You can follow along in the bulletin if you want. Later, after the angels, after the stable, after the child, they went back, as we always must. Back to the world that doesn't understand our talk of angels and stars, and especially not the child. We go back complaining that it doesn't last. They went back singing praises to God. We do have to go back, but we can still sing hallelujahs. Yes, we have to go back to life, but we don't have to go back the same way. We can go back with hallelujahs, with God with us. That is, we can, if we take that with us in the great resumption. That's, I think, how we don't let anyone steal the baby Jesus from us. That's how we do it if we don't let anybody steal the message of Christmas from us. I know I've shared with you before of how when I was young, Reverend Need was my minister from my early childhood all the way up to the year that I was ordained. And he did a sermon one time on this same thing, probably on this Sunday. And he suggested to the congregation, and I've always liked this, that keep out one Christmas decoration. Don't pack it away. And put it someplace where you will see it every day, to remind you that God has come, that God does come. Well, I think it was because of this sermon, my mother had this little plastic manger scene. And it had little colored plastic Mary and Joseph in it, and a little colored plastic baby Jesus. And she kept it on the little shelf in front of the kitchen window, behind the sink, where she would see it every day when she was cooking and doing the dishes, to remind her that God has come and is coming. Well, I have that little manger scene. Baby Jesus is gone. He fell out a long time ago. But I know Jesus is there. And that's sitting on my computer stand in my office. Some of you probably have seen it. Just to remind me, God has come and is coming. The baby the reminder that we don't have to continue after Christmas the same way. May God give us the eyes to see the evidences of Christ in the world around us every day. May God give us the sense of touch and feeling to feel the brush of angels' wings in our daily lives. May God give us hearing to hear the distant angel glorious. And may God give us mouths to sing our own hallelujahs. Each and every day of our lives. Don't let the world steal the baby Jesus from you. Don't let the world steal the good news of Christmas from you. Each and every day. Amen.